look back at this slide. I have a question for you. Have you surrendered your mind to foolishness? Are you floating? Or wisdom? Are you disciplining yourself for godliness? How do we do that? Look at the next slide. How do we start this transformation? We simply start avoiding what displeases God. Now, there's a verse there, and let's turn there and get to your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 12. So 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, it's chapter 13. Here we go. Verse 20. Okay, here we go. Let's read it together. You follow along in your Bible. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's a summary of the great work of Christ on the cross, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Okay, what does it mean to be complete in every good work to do his will? Let's find a way to describe that. Well, it's in the verse, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. What is the work of Christ on the cross doing? Simply to change us to be well-pleasing to God. When we were born, we were not pleasing him. We were going away from him toward destruction. When we get saved, he turns us around, and every day that we resist the world and head toward him, we're well-pleasing to him. Look back at the slide. What does God want us to do? It's very simple. Start avoiding what displeases God. Now, look up from the slide and let me share with you the context of this verse, okay? Those exercises Paul talked about, the writer of Hebrews is talking about, is how to live in the world avoiding the overwhelming pressure to go their way. Now, let me describe that pressure to you. I love history. Here's a history lesson, okay? Most Roman world citizens. Now, what's the Roman world? The New Testament is entirely written in the Roman world. There was a Roman emperor. There were Roman soldiers. Israel was an occupied country of the Roman Empire. Everywhere around Paul, there were Roman soldiers, Roman customs, laws. The taxes were paid to Rome. So the Roman world is the world of the New Testament, okay? What was it like? Most Roman citizens were drawn to the gaming world of spectacles in the local arenas that were in all parts of the Roman Empire. Did you catch that? Gaming spectacles? A nonstop calendar of events began in the capital city of Rome and soon radiated out to the furthest flung provinces of ever increasingly exciting spectacles. Live gladiatorial fights to the death, men versus ravenous beasts, beast versus beast, fighting to the death. There were duels, bloody deaths, shocking sights. It was intense visual stimulation. The roar of the crowds became intoxicating, and no one wanted to miss the events that ran all day long for day after day. Now, think of that. Think of living in a world where there are these arena events, gladiators, and death, and blood, and spectacles, and all of this going on. And all of a sudden, you get saved, and you're told you're not supposed to love bloodshed and violence and all the pagan false gods and occult and witchcraft that went along with it. And you're supposed to be going this way. See, that's what Paul's talking about. That's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. And that's why Paul, when he wrote to the church in nearby Ephesus, where Timothy was serving, it was just 100 miles between Colossae, where it said, set your affection on things above, and Ephesus, what did Paul say to them? Paul said, I want you to set your affections not on what the world is doing, not on the amusements in the direction, but on things above. Look back at your slides. Start pointing your mind toward God. That's what Paul said. Let me read to you Colossians 3:3-4. What Paul said is, for you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ appears, you'll appear with him in glory. Start pointing your mind toward where you're headed. Start pointing your life toward where you're going, toward God. Allow sanctification. Allow disciplining yourself for godliness, as we saw in 1 Timothy 4:7. Allow God to overcome this overwhelming distraction of the Roman arena and the Roman games and all the visual stimulation. Allow God to pull you away from that and allow you to get transformed as he renews your mind every day. Wow. How does this happen? Look back at your slides. Number one, we have to start being aware of the ultimate temptation. What's the ultimate temptation? Anything that distracts us from hungering after God. Anything. So let me ask you, what is your ultimate temptation? I don't know. What keeps you from the Bible? What keeps you from memorizing? What keeps you from fellowshipping with other believers? What keeps you from sharing the gospel? That's your ultimate temptation. Beware of any ultimate temptation, anything that distracts us from hungering and seeking after God. Look at the next slide. Number two, only God can reverse the erosion that takes place in our mind. Now, look in your Bibles at Colossians 3:5, and I'll read it to you. Paul said this to those people living in the Greek and Roman world. Put to death your members that are on the earth. What does that mean? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, idolatry. Put off all these things. What does mortify mean? It means throttle, crush, stop. What's he saying? Stop anything that makes you keep floating and start putting your paddle in and saying no to your flesh. Discipline yourself for godliness. Allow God to make you sanctify. What does that mean? Useful to God. How are we useful to God? Our life is pointed the right direction toward him. Thirdly, look in the slides. Ask God to help you starve your flesh. Do you know why we disobey God? Because we hunger after the old life. What's the old life? It's a life of pride and rebellion. It's a life of living for now. It's a life of not following God's way, but foolishness. It's the wide way. It's floating away from God. Ask God to help you starve your flesh. Next in the slides, number four, ask God to help you begin saturating yourself with his word. Let me read to you Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Today, God asks for believers, every believer, to make the choice, instead of amusing ourselves with the world, to unhook from the flow of amusements, the flow of visual stimulation, all the games and everything that's going on, and start disciplining ourselves for godliness. And that comes by the Word of God, by reading the Word of God, studying, meditating, memorizing God's word. Last slide, look down. Start a daily focus on God. As Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, we trust in the Lord. And now, before we go, I want to talk to you about what it says on that slide, the Lord's Prayer and my daily life focus, which I, as you see on the slide, have found is the way that I can be overcoming the distracted life. What is that like? Let me just give it to you in a minute. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says we're supposed to trust in the Lord. A few days ago, we studied the Hebrew words of that verse. What it means is, trust means that we come helplessly before the Lord, and then we lean not on our own understanding. Literally means, instead of leaning on what we think, we lean on the Lord. How, in a practical sense, how can you do that today? Well, let me just tell you how I do it. For the last, I'd say, 10 years since I taught through the Lord's Prayer, I realized that each of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer gave me a pathway that I could simply, in the dark, when I wake up like I did this morning at 6:09 a.m., kind of overslept, the first thing that came through my mind was, Our Father, which art in heaven. And I said, Lord, I would like to all day long for you to focus me back on you and your glory and your plans and your desires. Then it says, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. What that means is I say, Lord, I invite you to control me today. That's Romans 12. I present myself back to you. I want you to control me. The Lord's Prayer says, thy will be done. What I did is I said, Lord, I invite you to lead me through today. Show me how you want me to walk. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, supply me all the strength, all the boldness, all the whatever I need to do your will today. Forgive us our trespasses. I want you to cleanse me, Lord. So often that I stray, that I'm not obedient to what I know, I ask you to cleanse me. I know you've already forgiven me once and for all. I ask you to cleanse me so I can be useful to you. Deliver us. Protect me from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Empty me so I'm not proud. I want to be humble today. That's the simple way of overcoming the distracted life.